A very good morning to you. Welcome. This is the Mirror Breakfast Show, of course, where the big conversation begins every morning. And yes, happy International Day of Peace, which we are celebrating and commemorating today. Well, South Sudan has continued recording unfavorable ranking in governance. The Freedom House, an organization championing adherence to democratic tenets, has released its 2022 Freedom Score, which ranked South Sudan last in the Horn of Africa with a score of 1 out of 100. Well, Somaliland tops the list, a record it has maintained for 2 years in a row. Now, the report highlights political rights and civil liberties. Now, to get more on this and why we find ourselves in this position, I'm glad to be joined this morning here in the studio by the president of the Union of Journalists in South Sudan, Mr. Oyed Patrick. Good morning, Mr. Oyed. It's good to have you on the Mirror Breakfast Show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, South Sudan, yet again, get really low marks when it comes to Freedom Score. Are you kind of like surprised with this report? What is your take on this?
I'm not surprised by this report, because there is a lot of problems as far as freedom of expression is concerned, as far as civic space is concerned. There are really a lot of problems, so I'm not surprised. And you know, it reminds me of something we studied in history some time back, between 1830 to 1845, which was referred to, or 48, which was referred to as the Metternich era in Europe, where Metternich, being the head of state in Austria-Hungary, was deploying security officials to read all the letters going out of the country and all the letters also coming in the country. So we are in more or less that kind of situation, because look, if you have a situation where by all the newspapers that are being printed, first of all, have to be read by the national security officials. So you ask yourself, okay, where is the freedom of expression? If you have a situation whereby any meeting that you want to have, including, by the way, I attended one of the marriages for one of my cousin sisters 2 years ago. I've not attended any other marriage anyway, the traditional one. And we had to actually get authorization from the national security. And actually, on the day of the marriage, some national security officials were there to witness what was going on. So if the level is up to that, then we cannot be surprised if we are ranked last, because any meeting you want to have, you must have authorization and people to monitor. You know, we cannot, of course, teach the national security, especially of what they need to do. They know what to do. But the issue is, it would have been nice, and I think this happens in almost all the countries, to do their work secretly. Like, you go and have your meeting, and some people are there secretly monitoring you. You don't even know that they're monitoring you. Because, you see, the freedom of expression, curtailing it does not necessarily mean that you are being stopped. But by the virtue of the fact that you are watching your back, that somebody is there looking at me and trying to understand what I'm saying, it already, you know, it already prevents you from saying certain
you
things.
You basically censor yourself on what you should say and what you should not say.
Exactly.
Well, now you didn't mention a few, but what are some of the indicators really that make South Sudan to be in this position?
I think there are many. One of them is the continuous and rampant arrest, I can say, of media workers. That is one of the things. And if you've seen in the past few months, we've had a lot of cases of journalists being detained, sometimes and released, sometimes detained also for long before their release. And this has been happening even in parliament. The most unfortunate thing is that when politicians disagree, like in the recent past, when the SPLM-IO and IG were disagreeing over issues in parliament, and the IO walked out, what happens is that the security, instead of arresting those they have problems with, they wait for journalists. When journalists go to cover stories, then you find that you are a victim. Is a typical manifestation of what They say when two elephants fight, the grass suffers. The conflict is between the politician, but as journalists, you go to cover the story because the public is interested in knowing what is going on. Mm-hmm. Then you get arrested. So that's one of the indicators of the that makes us to be ranked like that. Mm-hmm. The continuous arrest, detention of journalists, and then also the general curtailing of freedom. As I earlier said, mm-hmm. you want to have a meeting, you need to get authorization from national security. You want to have a marriage, you have to get authorization. You have to have people to come and monitor. So you find that the whole space is actually shrinking. Mm-hmm. And then you see the issue is not just about getting authorization, but you have to also present the agenda that, you know, agenda of your meeting.
Hmm.
You have to present the agenda, you have to present the program, who are the people who are going to be there. So these kinds of things really show those who are doing the research that we do not have space. And remember, these things are happening now when there's even nothing like election.
Yeah.
What if time for elections really come where mm-hmm. people are now talking politics? Because, for example, somebody is just having marriage. Of course, it's a social issue. Having maybe workshop,
mm-hmm.
you know. So these are still very, really very issues that are not even connected to politics.
Mm-hmm.
But you find that already the requirement for you to have is a lot. So what will happen if now time for elections come and we are in the same kind of situation
mm-hmm.
where political parties want to really talk politics
yeah.
and others want to talk politics? And also another thing is getting information, access to information, mm-hmm. because you as a journalist, I need information for me to really come up with, you know, proper report.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a challenge. This is also a challenge. When you need this information from government institutions, yes, when you want interview, sometimes you are granted.
Yeah.
But interview is not all that we need.
Yeah.
Sometimes we need documents, you see.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so getting it is very difficult. And this does not stop only to journalists or with journalists. You have also people like filmmakers who mm-hmm. want to make film.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody needs, for example, filming permit from, let's say, media authority.
Mm-hmm.
When you need this, you have to present your script. What kind of film are you going to produce? They have to read the script, and then they have to see whether they like something or they don't like it. You know, so all that mm-hmm. then where is the freedom? Where is the freedom? That's the problem.
Wow. I'm quite surprised you did mention about all this, because, look, it's a film. And also you said about newspapers earlier, where the security have to be like the final editor
exactly.
of the paper, which is, of course, not, I mean, shouldn't be like that whatsoever. Well, we'll get back to you shortly, but let's talk to a civil society activist, Edmond Yakani, who just joined us online. Edmond, we have been discussing, and of course, about the report that ranks South Sudan as the last freedom score. Edmond, first of all, I asked this question earlier to the president of the Union of Journalists, Oyed, and I'm going to ask you the same. Are you surprised with this kind of ranking?
No, I think I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised in the sense that we have been facing those proceedings and those procedures that Oyed have talked about in several events that might have linked with freedoms of expression or free speech or free media. I don't repeat that, but I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. And one thing also I'd like to say is that another factor that maybe Oyed didn't share detail, but matter of well, this ranking could become worse, is that even some members of the security institutions, even if you get the license, they want to abuse that license. So they want to create other conditions that are not given to them to do that. And I think this goes back to the relevant or concerned institutions to find that if they have their staff should abuse approvals that are given. Sometimes approvals can be given, yes, there's no problem with that. But also capitalize that they start abusing that approval. They want to get out of it, kickbacks. They want to create their own conditions. They want to see X and Z insert here. Why is that asking, like, okay, if your boss gave everything to go ahead, but who are you now here? So mm-hmm. so it's a question of also you need to start disciplining those who feel that they have responsibility attached in the observation or enforcement or execution of such approvals, which actually initially we don't need those approvals, because as my brother said, what about if it comes to time of elections, when it comes time of constitution making, when it comes time of transitional justice, what will happen? Because those are political events. Sometimes people speak bitter words and bitter statements, bitter phrases that actually need to tolerate. So it's a question of culture of tolerance. When you have political leaders that their culture of tolerance becoming zero always, they become attached to everything that check that provide check and balance or question element of transparency and accountability. So I'm not surprised.
Well, now, as you did mention, of course, leading towards, you know, like real political processes that will be coming, you did mention about the constitutional making process. You did mention about elections, which will come eventually. We don't know when, of course, but it will come. And now, if you have to get a permit to, you know, have a marriage meeting, you have to, you know, edit, like national security have to edit the newspapers. Is there a reason to worry when it comes to these political processes that will be taking place? Do we have to be worried?
Obviously, you radicalize the massive population when you start sanctioning or censoring their statements and their positions and their words and their expression. You know, censorship is something that breaks society and breaks social fabric. So for me, I think real there should be a worry over that. And for me, it goes back to the concerns authority that sometimes their own officials take extra responsibility that are not legally accepted and required and unlawful decisions. For example, in the printing press, why do you want to edit a paper or why do you want to reject? Is really the spectrum of expression. And if you believe that dialogue, it has two ends. Dialogue have a positive message and dialogue sometimes have a bitter message. So why are you rejecting the bitter message that may have create a room for dialogue that we can find a solution to the situation? As today we are marking International Peace Day. Peace never exists where there's no debate, where there's no dialogue. Peace never exists where there's no tolerance. So, and tolerance always comes when you're able to listen to someone. So there's a really big worry that this behavior, if we continue with it to key political processes that we have mentioned, like elections, like constitution making, like transitional justice day, the social public may get broken further and further and further, and you may radicalize massive population that may see the state as an enemy. And Sabit William, let me take this opportunity. Usually, I used to repeat myself that part of my engagement in understanding the Arab Spring that happened in Libya, in Iraq, and somewhere, one of the main pillars is when the state controls freedom of expression. Mm-hmm. The citizen turns against the state. And we have seen in several case studies that has happened. Look at Sri Lanka, look at Iraq, look at Sierra Leone. You may think that you have all the energy, you have all the power, but when the masses stood up and say enough is enough, they're ready to sacrifice their lives, they're like water. You can't prevent them. So yeah. I think the time for dialogue, that right. Authorities
now,
need to allow space.
One will be wondering, though, Edmund, why is it happening like this? What could be the main cause? Has the conflict contributed some way in shrinking the freedom space in the country, or why are we like this?
It is an abuse of authority. It's an abuse of authority. It's an abuse of authority, and it is those junior ones who say that, you know, when I was able to control this, my boss will be happy. So the tendency of making boss happy by abusing authority is all the root causes of this. Because this is really a big challenge for people like us, like activists. Sometimes you come to realize that a junior person call you, threaten you. When you go to the boss say, no, we have no policy like that. And I have countered several issues that are related to freedom of expression where you receive a call and you go back to the boss that you feel he might have been the one authorized. And then they tell, no, we don't have a policy like that. Then asking, but what about this junior officer who is abusing this? Mm-hmm. So it's an abuse of an authority, and the culture of juniors want to make the boss happy. So there's many of them that will feel that they want to make president happy by controlling this. But actually, president himself is not his policy. He actually wants to hear those messages because that also informs him or informs any political leader, not necessarily president. I use president as an example. Any other leader, even today you say, if you speak about past vice president, all IOs will shoot against you. If you speak against the president, all SPLM will shoot against you. If you speak against Abdul Bajai behaviors, all SHA will shoot against you. So it depends on when you talk and you talk about who. And those who feel they want to embrace their boss, then they will be harsh on you. While actually their boss is interested to listen to that message because that message informs his thinking and his strategy. Then you come to realize the end result is that it's just an abuse of an authority.
All right. Edmund, stay with me. I'll get back to you as we continue. We have also with us in the studio the president of the Union of Journalists in South Sudan, Mr. Oyed Patrick. Yes, Oyed, this is the position we've gotten ourselves in now. Mm-hmm. What needs to be done to improve on this position?
Yeah, there are several things that need to be done to improve. But and that takes me to another reason as to why sometimes we see some of these behaviors of curtailing freedom of expression One of the reasons is contradicting or conflicting laws. Like, you have the constitution that provides clearly for freedom of expression, Article 24. You have 32 that provides for access to information. But then you have other laws, the acts especially, that come and contradict, like you have the security, National Security Act, which is a problem. It gives them too much power to arrest, detain, and that law. So one thing that needs to be done is the law need to be repealed, because that law is a problem by itself. Even it creates problems to other security organs, you see, because in as much as institutions are independent, but we also know that they are interdependent. So if you have one institution that can arrest, can detain, can as long as they want, and so forth, arrest even without a warrant, and you have another institution like police that requires to get an arrest and warrant arrest and so on, and then you have another institution like the National Prison Service that is supposed to be the place where, you know, prisoners are kept. So, and one institution is taking over all the work of the rest, then what happens to the rest of the institution? So that one thing is that the law really needs to be repealed. And then that law, some people may see like it will reduce their powers, but that law helps them, because now the problem is, in as much as I must say that according to my understanding, which I think might be wrong to other people, but the fact is that many people in this country respect the National Security Service officials. Because whenever there is some kind of chaos, when they come in, they kind of bring the chaos down.
Do they respect or they fear?
That's the second thing. That's the second thing. There are those who respect, and then there are those who fear them. And now, for you, when you're working for an institution, you don't want to be feared. Are you seeing?
Absolutely.
You want actually to be respected. And it does no good for you to work for an institution and you are feared. And yet, sometimes you are feared, but you are only implementing the law which is there. Are you seeing? So the problem is the law, and then you are implementing that law, and now the very people that you serve, who are supposed to be proud of you, proud of what you do, they now fear you, and they actually hate you also. So nobody wants to be hated. So the national security officials, I'm sure, they don't want to be hated by the people of South Sudan. So the first thing to be done is to make sure that that law, which gives them too much power, and this power can easily be abused by anybody who is in that service, should be changed to be a law that is acceptable by everybody. Because first of all, it's contradicting even the constitution. And then another thing that should also be done is the issue of accountability. When somebody commits an offense or violates the set-up rules, like my brother Yakani was saying, somebody just picks a phone, threatens another person without any authorization. First of all, it's unlawful, and then they threaten. And later, when this issue is reported to their bosses, nothing is done. So the issue of accountability should also be there on the security officials. If you go on your own and go and arrest somebody, beat up somebody, and so forth, and the issue has been brought to your authority, the person needs to be punished, because this element is missing. You arrest somebody, you detain, sometimes you destroy the equipment, especially like journalists. At the end of the day, even if the case goes to a higher authority, nothing happens. You are just released, and that official continues to work. So that doesn't help, because it creates that sense of impunity. And then the law should be followed. Look, we have the laws, as we said. Some of them we want them repealed, but some of them are okay. We have the laws as far as issue of defamation is concerned, as far as issue of whatever you want to say, any violation, whatever you want to say, the laws are there, whether in penal code or even media authority has an act where they can provide some, they can make some punishment. Now, why would you then go and edit a newspaper, you see, and yet the law is there? Why don't you let that news to go out? And if it has a problem with the law, then you take the person to court.
Yes, we'll get back to you. Edmond, let's just briefly, from what Mr. Oyed Patrick said there, I would like you to respond. Do we have a problem with the Security Act?
Yes, of course. As we speak for now, in the last meeting, His Excellency President and First Vice President have met over it, and they have referred to the Ministry of Justice, because it's only the National Security Law has a problem. Even a problem between Local Government Act and the Judiciary Act of the Republic of South Sudan in terms of power. So those laws need to be repealed. That's the truth that need to be repealed. And of course, accountability is another issue. As Oyed said, look here, let me try to give something here, clarity, a bit of Sabit William on respect of security officials and fear of security officials. In which level are they respected and in which level are they feared? One, when there's a violence where the leadership of national security authorities take action and they themselves as a leadership be on the ground, practical on the ground, always they are respected. But where their junior officers take the power of abusing the law, they normally are not respected. So that's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I come to the point where OIT have raised that when the junior ones abuse the law, when we report to the bosses, what do they expect the bosses are supposed to take? So that also we continue respecting them is to hold them accountable. But the question comes is that the reporting system in our security services is a bit threatening. So and remember, they have very good case studies that I can tell you. Remember the case of Train, which people are held accountable. Remember the case where they were involved in some activities. They have a court martial that is holding the officers accountable. But this is when they themselves, their own, they take advantage of holding the officers accountable. But where citizens want to report, and for me, I go back to the media section of our National Security Service, that they should establish a public complaint system where public can come and complain about abuse of the law or abuse of authority by their officers, so that we put that complaint, and that complaint should be in a place that is friendly, not threatening. Because at the end of the day, they are nationals. That is a public institution. They have no policy against any citizen. But they need to make sure that check and balance is very important. So for me, that's the difference that we need to bring onwards as we are discussing this particular issue. Mm-hmm. So that we have mentioned.
And yes,
but
you...
Of course, also policy.
Yes.
Yes. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Finish your sentence there.
The second thing also comes to the angle of the politician. Even if we have a good laws, we have a very good system, when politicians want to abuse the state authority in order to gain or to make their personal interest, it's also another problem with freedom of expression and free press. For example, prisons need to receive a prisoner who is directed by court. But when you become a brigadier general and you're a politician, you pick anybody and you go and dump in the prison because you have authority. And this standard in South Sudan that Talimat Begum in Fox. These things come from Fox. So when you start using those phrases to abuse the law and to introduce a power that are not there in the law, but it can contribute to this ranking that today we're in now. So
right.
I think for me, it's a question of commitment and a question of taking responsibility to follow execution of a law under your authority. For me, that's the thing that we need to now commit ourselves to.
All right. Now, we'll get back to you, Edmund, just for your final remarks. And Oyet, both of you have held meetings with government and other stakeholders on different occasions, focusing on freedom of expression, basically. Have your efforts yielded any results so far?
You always get promises, but implementation is a problem. And I think another thing that I would like to say also is, you know, I never went to Khartoum before independence.
Mm-hmm.
But after independence, I went several times when former President Omar al-Bashir was still in power. Thereafter, even when he was overthrown, I've gone several times.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw certain things that unfortunately I think they are not good, and some of those things are the ones also copied by our security.
We inherited them.
Exactly. And that also is one of the problems that we have at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our security operatives, our leaders should learn, because that situation, that system is actually what they fought against, first of all. Then number two, it led former President Omar Bashir to where he is now.
Mm-hmm.
So It is good for them to learn that it doesn't work, especially suppressing freedom of expression, suppressing civic space for civil society organizations and so on. It just doesn't work. Things like marriages, things like meetings, let people be free, you know, and use the laws that are there so that you make sure that, you know, the law is followed. And people start to understand that when you follow the law, and it is the best thing.
Mm.
You know, coming back to your issue,
mm-hmm.
we've had a lot of promises from various or several government officials who say you are free. But then again, you hear that something has happened, they have arrested somebody and so on. So the implementation of that part of the talks that we have with them has not yet really come to pass.
Mm-hmm. All right. Edmund, has there been any success story that you could possibly like to share?
A story with the media authority, but later on was undermined. I remember this question of removal of articles in newspapers. We interact a lot, and I really take this opportunity to give a respect to MD of Media Authority, that sometimes he will respond. And I remember, even there's a time where South Sudan was ranked improved in freedom of media, based on of those success stories. If you remember, we have moved some steps forward. I think the last ranking or the last two, second ranking, we have moved some steps forward in ranking on freedom of expression by what we call Reporters Without Borders. And I think we all celebrate that, oh, it's a good now South Sudan has improved to be better ranked than previous years that have gone. That's a success story. But that is watered down when the junior people abuse their structure. So I think for me that's a success story. But as I say, 80% of the promises are not delivered. You can't realize that you get a promise. But also other thing is that somebody promises you somewhere, somebody go and contradict somewhere because you have a personal problem with the person who gives you the promise or somebody who allocate the promise. The other thing I've learned in South Sudan that when we're demanding for freedom of expression and civic space, you can go to leadership of concerned authorities. They can really give you a clear pathway that go do this, do this. You can't realize another junior officer or another similar equal capacity officer because there's a personal problem with that particular person who granted you that, he again will shrink the space and say, no, I don't agree with that. This is under my authority. Mm. And unless you want to work, go and work under him. But when you come to me here, no, I don't agree with what the person says. So there's a personal contradiction in the work around giving approvals and allowing approvals to go ahead. And this tells me today the International Peace Day slogan that we need to stop racism so that we build peace. But we have so many institutional racism in South Sudan that have contributed to the ranking of why we have been seen as a very low. So you go to somebody who will give you a go ahead. For example, you go to media authority gives you license to go and photograph it everywhere in the states. You go to the states, somebody in the states because they have a problem, say, no, I don't agree with what media authority says. But this is the only institution in the country that constitution is mandated to do this. So contradictions and racism and question of personal grievances among leaders have contributed in shrinking civic space and freedom of expression.
Yes, as we conclude this conversation, Edmund, you have mentioned on many occasions and blamed junior officials. Now, junior officials work under, of course, the senior officials. And if these senior officials don't hold the junior ones accountable, probably the blame should not purely go to the junior officers, because at the end of the day, if you just undermine it, we seem to be like taking the blame away from the leaders themselves, but they know this is happening, but they take no action. That should as well go to them.
You know, Sabit, honestly, I do agree with you. This goes to them, but personally, I'm somebody who is evidence-based. When you follow the senior officials to hold the junior officials accountable, there's a bureaucracy of reporting complaint. There's no complaint system, and that's why I like this opportunity that I call for improvement of complaint mechanisms. There's no complaint mechanism that you can easily complain and the senior officials will get it. Of course, the senior officials take responsibility for not holding the junior officials accountable in executing their mandate. That's one. Of course, you know, when it comes to accountability, when the senior fail to hold the junior accountable, the first person to be held accountable is the senior. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that we have in this country is that there's no mechanism of reporting of how seniors can get it. That's what I'm calling upon, taking this advantage that specifically our security institutions, our national security, our police service, and then our military. For police, it's much more easier compared to military if it's go to Bill Farm and if it's go to Blue House. So these two institutions, the military and the national security, if they're hearing us in this conversation, my recommendation is that let them set up a reporting mechanism, a complaint mechanism. I know they have opened their civilian relationship better in some occasions I've seen, which I appreciate and I congratulate for that in some states, but they need to strengthen that more so that the senior one will help the junior, like to abuse the laws too much accountable, you know, because some of them just you pull them. Let me give an example. Sometimes they hire on the street because of their jobs and they are used to accomplish something that is unlawful. When it's accountant, they say, no, I'm a member. And then you have this language, Botaka, then I give them the homework, so they show your ID card, say, this ID they are brought from your mother's house. So, such officers, we need a complaint mechanism that the seniors will receive that information and hold them accountable. But also, we don't report and we don't see accountability being held or impunity is being stopped. So, I think for me, that's what I would like to say, that the seniors also take responsibility. I do agree with you maximally. The senior also need to be blamed.
All right. Edmund, your final remarks in less than a minute, please.
Freedom of expression, if we allow it to function as required by the law, will secure peace and stability. The moment we shrink civic space, we are mobilizing for violence. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Edmund, for talking to us this morning here and, of course, your contribution. And we come to Mr. Oyed Patrick, who is the President, Union of Journalists in South Sudan. Oyed, what will be your final remarks if we have to get ourselves out of this unfavorable and terrible ranking?
The government should relax. They should relax. They should not think that everybody is just an enemy. You know, there's that thinking where people look at you not as you doing your job, but as somebody who wants to create problems. It's not the case. These democratic processes, this freedom of expression, have been there even in our traditional societies. You know, when people want to resolve problems, people come. The elders call everybody, they sit and they listen to an issue and decide, you know, democratically by virtue of the majority. So why is it that now these things are not allowed? Everything you want to do, marriage, you have to bring security, you want to sit for a meeting. Why? I think it is something that doesn't help the society. And as Yekani just said, you know, if you are going to curtail the freedom, you are not going to allow people to really discuss issues freely, people to understand some of the things that are happening. Like, I was surprised sometimes some people wanted to have a conversation on constitution-making process, and they were stopped. Some of them even were arrested. This is the core mandate of even the government. The government is supposed to provide civic education. People need to know their rights. People need to know their duties. And if they know, then you expect violence to stop. Because if somebody knows that if someone wrongs me, I have to go to court. Someone knows that if I have a duty, for example, to pay tax, it is my duty, I have to pay. And I have a right, for example, if the elections come, I have to vote, or I can also contest, and so on. Then somebody will see no reason as to why when somebody does something wrong to me, I should carry a gun and shoot the person up, because the law is there. But if you are denying people opportunity to interact, to discuss issues, to understand how the system works, how the country works, how the rule of law works, then you're just preparing people for disaster. So I think the idea of curtailing freedom of expression doesn't help. It is making us look in the eyes of the world very bad, like the current rankings that are coming. All the rankings, we are not doing well. And I think the leaders themselves know when they move outside the country, people, when you say I'm from South Sudan, the way people, you know, sometimes they even make a comment, what is wrong with you people? Why are you doing all these bad things? Why are you fighting? Why are you blocking the media?
I have been told that a few times in the airport. They ask you from South Sudan, but what is wrong with you?
What is wrong with you? You
know? Which is a question obviously I cannot answer, because I am not the problem.
Of course. Of course, you know. So I think, closing radio stations and, you know, some are done by politicians, and all these things cannot help. They cannot help. They only make people so fearful, and people can easily resort to violence, because they think there is no any other way of resolving their problem, because they cannot talk, they cannot go anywhere. They don't even know where. Some of them do not even know where to go. So unless information is given to them through freedom of expression, and also all over the world now, what is happening is that the media even is moving away from the government to the people. They give more people opportunities to talk. And I can say also that without being criticized, you can never improve, because you will always think that what you are doing is right. But when people talk, people tell you that this is wrong, at least you see some actions being taken. And I've seen a few things that I think, if encouraged, would help this country. Look, of recent, there was this student who had performed very well in a primary school and did not get a scholarship. And the issue came up through the media, social media, and then mainstream media. And later, I understand he got a scholarship. Assuming that issue was never discussed. It was not going to come anywhere. Then the judicial killing in Unity State. It also surfaced through social media, and later the mainstream media took. And it came out. And at least authorities are trying to do something. There's investigation. Assuming nobody talked about that. Nobody was given a chance to say anything.
The shooting of the Miss Dev.
Exactly.
Which brought actually media attention. And eventually she got some help.
Exactly. Yeah. So people need to talk. People need to talk. And then through the talking, through the expressions and so on, the government will also take appropriate action to correct the problems that are there. Now we are in a situation whereby if you go to a village and the people in the village tell you, we have been suffering here, we do not have water, we do not know where the government is, immediately somebody will say, don't put this, because they are saying, where is the government? But the person is complaining about water. And if the government sees it, then the government will say, okay, what can we do to provide water?
Absolutely.
So people should be free to talk, I think.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Oyot Patrick. Thank you so much for talking to us this morning. And of course, we do appreciate your time coming here.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And yes, Mr. Oyot Patrick is the President Union of Journalists in South Sudan. And we have been discussing about South Sudan ranking in governance at the Freedom House, an organization championing adherence to democratic tenets, has released its 2022 Freedom Score, which ranks South Sudan last. And I repeat that, last in the Horn of Africa, with a score of 1 out of 100. One out of 100. We'll be back. A very good morning to you.